I understand that we have South Africa Broadcasting in Johannesburg, our colleague Selina Ntobang.
Okay, thank you so much for the opportunity. My name is Selina Ntobong from the South African Broadcasting Corporation's Channel Africa Radio. My question is directed at DG Graziano da Silva, and it's very much continent focused. Mr. da Silva, various reports suggest that most African countries will not meet the MDG 1 of eradicating hunger. What I want to find out, and I'd like to hear your opinion on, where is it that the African continent is failing, and also will there be a specific focus on the African continent and how it can address the issue of malnutrition, and also imagining that there can never be a blanket approach to this matter. Thank you very much.
Yes, there is a specific approach for African countries, but let me say that I don't take for granted that most of the African countries will not achieve the first millennium development goals. We have more than 1.5 years ahead, and we have seen the, with FAO last figures that many countries in Africa have made a very good progress in the last biennium, and we have a very special approach now in our new partnership with the African Union and the Instituto Lula to push for this hunger eradicate program. We have a trust fund. We are implementing several programs on the most challenged countries. And I believe that we will see a good progress in the next year. So I would wait a bit more for accepting your starting point that they will not achieve. In any case, let me say that in Africa, due to the importance of young people, especially the importance of children, this is the focus, children under five, because the future of them depend on the good nutrition in the first 5 years. I used to say that a child, if they don't drink milk until five, they will not be even able to take care of a cow when they grow up. So this is very important to have promoting good nutrition for children. And we are doing that. Our focus in Africa is the school meal programs. We are implementing in several countries with assistance of different countries from Brazil, England, other partners, Venezuela. A program to improve school meals, and also improving the use of local food. We are trying to push us from local farmers to buy from them milk, eggs, vegetable, fresh fruit, to improve the nutrition of the meals that we provide them at school. So this program is our priority in Africa, and I believe that this is our goal, to bring the children below five to be adequate and safely nourished. Thank you, Director General. Let me open the floor here in Rome for the correspondents here, in case there are any questions. Any questions from Rome? Otherwise, I will, yes, the gentleman here. Hold on a second, wait for the microphone, and gratefully if you could identify yourself.
My name is Rafael. My name is Rafael Carranza. I'm a reporter with Rep Reports TV News Agency here in Rome. My question is for Mr. Graciano da Silva. If you could share your thoughts on why it's important to have Pope Francis participate in this conference in November, please.
Well, it's difficult to me to say something about the Pope Francis participation except to thanks thanks the support for all the work that FAO is doing on this area. I believe that his presence not only stimulate us to do more, but in some sense it's a kind of partnership that we are engaging, not only the Catholic Church, but all religions on this issue of food security and hunger combat. My previous experience in Brazil allowed me to say that the church in general play a very important role, because one of the most difficult things, unbelievable, is that the poor, especially the hungry people, they are invisible. We don't know them. We don't know where they live. We don't have a number. We don't have, most of the time, even a document, an identification to tackle them. And so they are not benefit for most of the governmental programs. We need to find them. And then this role, we need the civil society participation and engage all the society on that. So church plays a very important role on that, helping to identify and also to be partner on those programs.
Let me now go again overseas. I understand we have in Dakar, l'Agence de Presse Sénégalaise. Madame Adama, vous avez la parole.
Merci. Bonjour à tout le monde. Je suis Adama Djouvli. Je suis journaliste à l'Agence de Presse Sénégalaise. J'avais une question pour le directeur général de la FAO, Graciano da Silva. C'est pourquoi avoir attendu presque plus de 20 ans après pour organiser la deuxième conférence sur la nutrition, alors qu'ici en Afrique, les indicateurs montrent que la situation ne s'est pas beaucoup améliorée. Et une deuxième question, c'est par rapport au niveau d'implication des gouvernements africains par rapport à cette conférence de novembre. Merci beaucoup.
Merci.
We have in Africa, as we have in other continents, big difference among countries, and also in the same countries. There is a totally uneven progress, if I may say. Especially in Africa, we can say that we don't have progress, or even we have worse numbers in regions in conflict. This has been probably the most strong connection between hunger, nutrition, and conflict in all continents is in Africa. And also Africa, including North of Africa, the Arab countries of North of Africa. So if we can say something, is the background most important for implementing food security and nutrition programs is peace. And this is a lesson learned and confirmed in the Arab Spring that we had a few years ago. But I would like to add another comment related to those differences. we have been neglecting the approach specific on nutrition for many years. We believe that only providing food is enough to tackle the issue of nutrition. And we must recognize that there are specific issues on nutrition. So we need from now on to start to talk about food security and nutrition as separate issues that demand specific programs. I would like to highlight again the issue of children. Stunted and unnourished children are a priority in Africa, but also mother care, because we have a lot of death and also disease related to the care that we provide to the mothers before or after they've been pregnant. So these are among the two things that I would like to highlight there. Thank you.
Thank you. I can see that asking for the floor from Cairo, the Reuters correspondent, who is also covering in not only in English but also for the in Arabic for the whole region, Mr. Omar, you have the floor, sir.
Yes, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I am Ahmed Omar, a journalist in the Arabic desk of Reuters in Cairo. I have two questions for Mr. De Silva. First one, mainly my two questions about the effect of the Arab Spring uprisings on nutrition. The first one, how the nutrition situation in the Arab Spring countries was affected comparing to 3 years ago, that means before the uprisings. The second question, is there a chance that nutrition policies could be put high on the agenda of Arab countries, which now might have more urgent issues concerning security and rebuilding the state institutions? Thank you.
I would like to start challenging you, as I did before with the other journalists, on your starting point. You say that there are more urgent issues concerning security and rebuilding the state institutions. It's difficult for me to accept that there is something more important than food security and health for a citizen. On the roots, the deep roots of the what we saw in the Arab Spring, the revolts and all the issues, was a food insecurity, very clear, present. And we can see that, answer your first question, that in the countries that we see conflicts, especially countries that are for a long time under conflict, like Syria, we have seen that the nutrition and food security has dropped down very fast. So these two things are closely related. If you don't have food security and food safety, you don't have a healthy life, citizens will be affected, and conflict will spread. So this trade-off is present in the Arab countries very clearly.
Thank you. I'm going to open the floor in Rome in case there are any questions here. Otherwise, we are running a little bit out of time. I have several questions from journalists via email and via video conference. Then I'm going to go again for the last time overseas. I understand I can see already Patricia Kodar from Beirut. Beirut, Lorraine Lejoux, you have the floor.
Yes, so I have two questions for Mr. De Silva. The first question is, how will FAO and the international community tackle the problem of malnutrition among Syrian refugees, especially children living in camps across Syria, Lebanon, Turkey, Jordan, and Iraq? What steps can be taken in order to protect these refugees from hunger? This is the first question. And the second question is that since 1992 conference, what are the goals that were achieved or close to be achieved in the MENA region? And what are still the weaknesses and the issues that need more work? And thank you.
Patricia, I'll ask Jomo to help me with the second question, and I'll try to address you the first one. I just came from a visit to Turkey and discussed this issue with the Minister of Agriculture and also with the Prime Minister Erdogan. There is a lot of refugees coming in all the time in a very difficult environment and very precarious situation due to the lack of financial resources to support them. We hope that with the conflict that it can be, it can come down in the forthcoming months, but what to do with those refugee camps is the priority in this moment. FAO is working with the Turkey government and also in Lebanon and Jordan to give priority for the support for the refugees. We have also to highlight that the World Food Programme plays in this moment the key issue, providing food aid for them, because in this moment it's the best what we can do is provide this food aid. There's no much more than we can do with the scarce resource that we have. I ask Joma to help me with the second one.
Thank you very much, Director General. Since 1992, there has been uneven progress. There has been progress, for example, in reducing the number of people who are hungry. There has been progress in reducing the share of people who are hungry. The FAO recognizes the progress in different ways. Almost 40 countries have achieved the MDG 1C, which deals specifically with hunger, since the early 1990s. And almost half of that number have actually achieved the World Food Summit's more ambitious goal of reducing the number of halving the number of people who are hungry. So these are very important achievements. As the Director General emphasized, even in some African countries, they have been able to make progress and achieve MDG 1C. And some of them will be recognized next week at the Council meeting here in Rome. There has been also some increase of problems of malnutrition. Problems of micronutrient deficiencies have become more serious, particularly among populations who are less close to food sources, people with greater urbanization and so on. And we see that the problems of micronutrient deficiencies usually get very little attention because they are less dramatic in some ways. But it is precisely with greater awareness that progress can be made. A question was raised earlier about the importance of the Pope. The Pope has exercised tremendous moral leadership, not only for Roman Catholics, but for others in the world. And this is why the importance of moral leadership in the struggle against hunger and malnutrition is important. To use another example, in the United States, in the last 5 years, there has been a 43% reduction of childhood obesity. The United States used to be the most obese nation in the world, but there was a 43% in the last 5 years. And this is largely attributable to the moral leadership exercised by the First Lady in improving patterns. So we can see the role of political leadership, but moral leadership can play a very important role. The number of micronutrient deficiencies is very considerable, and it is very difficult to estimate with great precision, but the broad numbers I indicate broadly suggest some considerable improvement in the number of reducing the number of people in the proportion of people who are hungry, the reduction in the number of people who are hungry is more modest. It has been about 17% over the last two decades. And of course, this is very far short of the World Food Summit of 1996 commitment to reducing hunger by half. But it is much closer to the MDG 1C commitment to reducing the proportion of people who are hungry by half. One of the other major new developments is a greater emphasis on food insecurity. And under the Director General's leadership, the FAO has initiated something called the Voices of the Hungry Project, which focuses specifically on what is called the food insecurity experience. This has already been done in many countries. Surveys are done by the USDA for the food stamps program. In Latin America, the Latino Barometer has been doing some of this work. In Africa, likewise, we have seen some recognition of the importance of this work. But for the first time ever, this will be done at a global level next year. On the question of diet-related non-communicable diseases, there seems to be a growing epidemic. And this has been recognized by the United Nations system, thanks to the work of our counterparts. The WHO has been doing a great deal of work to bring greater attention to the problem of diet-related non-communicable diseases. So the track record, unfortunately, is one of uneven progress in some areas, and unfortunately, regression in other areas. And this is partly because there is less understanding of the importance of the importance of micronutrient deficiencies, as well as the importance of diet-related non-communicable diseases. We hope the conference will spur greater attention to these challenges. And it is also very important that we acknowledge the role of political leadership in making the difference. This has been recognized in different ways, and we know, for example, in the case of some countries, how the commitment of the leaders. For example, the World Food Prize a couple of years ago was awarded to the former presidents of Brazil and Ghana, who had made considerable progress in terms of reducing the number of hungry people. It is precisely by such recognition of these challenges and progress towards addressing these challenges that we will be able to bring the international community together, and hopefully at the national level as well, that we will be able to bring about the commitment which is absolutely necessary. And the relationship between nutrition policies, addressing nutrition, and other kinds of policies is extremely important in this regard. For example, the use of social protection policies in addressing some of the micronutrient deficiencies which we face in many different parts of the world was emphasized by the Director General in his remarks about the importance of school feeding programs, school feeding initiatives, and other initiatives to address the problems of childhood nutrition, particularly for those under five, or what is sometimes referred to as the first 2,000 days. Thank you.